Jesus spent 40 days teaching his disciples many things, and we're going to be exploring those. And on the first day, we find Mary Magdalene being confronted by the risen Christ and the end of her sorrow and grief forever. And now we turn to the afternoon of that day and read about it in Luke's Gospel in chapter 24 and beginning in verse 13. So follow along if you will, but be prepared for sort of like an electric shock, because that's what happened to these two men who walked with the Lord. And so now hear the word of God. God has promised only to bless his word, not what we say about it or not what we think about it, but God has promised to bless his word. So open your hearts and mind to that blessing now as we read these marvelous words contained in Luke 24, beginning in verse 13. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all of these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are so sad?" Then one whose name was Cleopas answered and said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not heard the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses, that is beginning with Genesis, with Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So may God bless his word and bless the testimony of these two men of old to encourage our hearts as well. Would you join me again in just a moment of prayer, you praying for me that I will speak the word clearly, and I praying for you and that you will hear it with responding faith. So let's pray for each other. Father in heaven, we're so grateful that the Lord Jesus did spend those 40 days with his disciples and reveal some things about himself that we wouldn't have known otherwise. Help us to be thrilled as we hear what he said to these men of old and what he is saying to us here in this place, just as surely as he spoke the word of God to them. So he now, by his word and Holy Spirit, speak the word to us that changed their lives completely and will change ours too, if we will but believe and respond. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have to put some things together about these two men, Cleopas and his companion, and how that things were building to a climax in Jerusalem, because it was time for one of the really important Passovers of the year, and word had gotten out that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. And he had raised the Lord, the servant of himself, to become a witness. And that spread like wildfire, as you can imagine, as you know how things spread in this community, even though some things before they actually happen. But they were so excited when they heard that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. So surely now the Sanhedrin and the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees will join together in welcoming him into Jerusalem and proclaiming him as the Messiah. And so they went with high hopes. These two men went from Emmaus, and probably they went on Sunday morning, the first day of the week. They wouldn't have gone on the Sabbath because it was forbidden for people to travel that far on the Sabbath day. But no doubt they went there the first day of the week, expecting to see the crowds excited about Jesus, and they were not disappointed. For when they got there, they could see Jesus preparing to enter the city on the back of a donkey, just like the prophet said that he would, on a beast of burden, meek and lowly in heart. And the people were so excited because they just knew this was the beginning of great things. They were right, but not the great things they expected. They expected Jesus to claim the kingship. And just like David had turned the unbelievers out of Jerusalem when he took over and it began a kingdom that became an empire under his son. And so they expected that when David's heir would enter the city, he would overthrow the Romans and the corrupt Jews, and that he would inaugurate the kingdom of God. Well, he was going to do that, but not in the way they thought. So they, no doubt, Cleopas and his friend joined the excited mobs that were there shouting, "Save us now! Hosanna!" That's what Hosanna means. Save us now! And thousands of voices were lifted up crying out to Jesus, "Save us now!" as he rode into the city. But it just didn't turn out that way, did it? Oh yes, Jesus proclaimed the word of God. He then showed a number of other miracles that would attest to the fact that he was the Messiah. But the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees were not about to bow their knee because they thought themselves above the rabble. And not only that, but they thought themselves as worthy heirs of David and Solomon's kingdom. And so they turned their backs on Jesus. And they demanded that the Romans find him guilty. Cleopas and others who had come, like Mary Magdalene and others who had come expecting Jesus to be enthroned in Jerusalem as the king over God's people. It just didn't happen that way. Things went from bad to worse. And the first thing you know, he was on trial before the Romans, accused by the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees of breaking God's law and of breaking man's law, and demanded that he be put to death by crucifixion. And the demand of that was so rare, and that only the worst of criminals and those who posed a danger to the state and those who had committed heinous crimes, not raising people from the dead but putting people in the grave, this crucifixion was reserved for people like that. The Romans would have turned him loose, but the Jews refused to let them do that. And they accused Pilate of being no friend of Caesar if you let this man go. And Pilate, who was in trouble with Caesar anyway and would shortly be deposed by Caesar, was frightened. And so he gave in, and they crucified him. And even though two members of the Sanhedrin who had not agreed to the condemning of Jesus came and took his body away and laid it in the grave, yet Cleopas and his friend would again respect the Sabbath day, and they would not go back home until the first day of the week. And they made their way. It was a long and torturous journey. Just think of it this way. They went to Jerusalem assured that Jesus was going to end the month, the week, as the King of the Jews, and would be leading the Jews in their battle against the Romans and against the Greek influence, and establishing Jerusalem as the capital of the world. And of course, those who had followed Jesus would be rewarded handsomely, no doubt, they thought. But there is nothing like a letdown after high expectations. Have you ever been there when you have expected things just to break in the right way for you, and then all of a sudden they break in pieces? And that's what happened to Cleopas and his friend. And so they made their way slowly the 7 miles home from Jerusalem. They had come on the first day of the week, 1 week before, with great anticipation and eagerness to become known as followers of Jesus Christ. They barely escaped, so they thought, with their lives. And the Jews were looking for disciples of Jesus to imprison them and perhaps put them to death. And so here was Cleopas and his friend slipping secretly out of the city, no doubt, and headed home. But they talked. They talked about how terrible it was, and they neither one could comfort the other because their hopes had come to an end. And they were making their way away from the holy city, back to the mundane, back to the limited life of the village, now with broken hearts. And some of you have been there. You've been in the presence of the Lord Jesus and the church of the Lord Jesus and people of the Lord Jesus, and you've been encouraged and you've been active, and yet things have not worked out maybe for you. I talked to a lady 2 weeks ago who had written me a note when she heard about my accident and had told me that she and many of her friends were praying for me. The next week, that dear lady found out cancer had spread in her body, because she thought the doctor had told her it was limited just to this one site. And then when she went back in for further examination, she found that it had spread through her lymph nodes and was in all of her body. And yet that dear lady had written me just the week before she found out, saying how much they were praying for me and how much they loved me, and those things that you expect to hear from your friends. But then the next day she went to the doctor and found out that she had a limited time to live, and perhaps she would be facing many long treatments and many long illnesses because of this cancer that had spread throughout her body. That's how it happens sometimes. You try to serve the Lord. You say, I'm really serious about wanting to be one of your followers, Lord. And then you find your way on the road back to Emmaus, back to reality, back to suffering, back to pain, back to sorrow. You lose a loved one that you weren't expecting to lose. You find your family breaking up around you. And your heart is broken over that. But that's how it is when you leave the presence of God and start walking through this world with its many sorrows. And even Christian people have to accept the same thing that others accept. And so here were these men going back home again, disillusioned, perhaps even somewhat angry that this had happened to them, and they certainly would never let it be known by anybody else that they were followers of Jesus. It hurt too bad, because they expected things to turn out differently. They expected to leave Jerusalem as embassies and ambassadors of the King, of the whole world. And yet they had to flee out of the small gate of the city and walk 7 miles back home again. And as they walked and as they talked together, somebody was coming up behind them, and they didn't know who it was, but